Welcome to episode 18 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. We are after a short little hiatus, and we got ourselves a lot of NFL topics and NBA topics to discuss with you today. So we're going to first dive into the NFL side of things. And one of the first things that have happened in the last couple of days is Yannick Ngakoue. Caleb and I have been discussing the last couple of episodes, as some of you guys have heard in the past. One of the main players that we were wondering is, where is Yannick Ngakoue going to go? Because he wanted out of Jacksonville for a while, and he finally got his wish. He got released. He got traded to the Minnesota Vikings after declining his franchise tag. Jags released him, and now he's with the Minnesota Vikings. I'll start off by talking about my side. Obviously, you guys know I'm a diehard Packers fan. And hearing the news that Yannick Ngakoue is going to the Minnesota Vikings and having to verse him twice a year, I'm slightly concerned a little bit. The only reason being is because you now have, even though the Vikings lost Everson Griffin to the Dallas Cowboys, you now have Danielle Hunter with the young Yannick Ngakoue, who is entering, I believe, only his fourth or fifth year. I mean, this guy is crazy talented. He had some great years in Jacksonville. He was a Pro Bowler. I believe he was even an All-Pro. He's the kind of guy who could change a defense. You pair him up with Danielle Hunter, and he's got a recipe for success in Minnesota, and hopefully he'll get his payday, you know, if he has a good year after this season. And I'll kind of go to you, Caleb. What are your thoughts on Yannick Ngakoue heading to the Minnesota Vikings?
You know, it's a good move for the Vikings, you know, being that they lost Everson Griffen. You know, that they definitely needed that in the best way. And then you know, for him, he's at a place where he's happy. You know, he'll be the guy. He'll be expected to be that pass rusher and get to the quarterback. Who knows if they'll re-sign him. I don't know what the contract situation is looking like, but I definitely know that he'll be the guy. He's in a place he's happy now, and I'm excited to see what they'll do with him. There'll be a younger defense. I don't expect him to be too much better, too much worse. And I think Everson Griffen, he ended up going to the Green Bay Packers. Am I not wrong? Or did he go to the Cowboys?
He went to the Dallas Cowboys.
He went to the Cowboys. Okay. Yeah, I thought so. So, you know, it will be a problem for Green Bay to worry about. I'm not sure that they will have to worry too much. They definitely will have to take care of it. I think they will take it. And, you know, that'll be that. I don't think it'll bother Green Bay too much. I still have Green Bay coming on top.
I still do as well, but the only reason why I'm slightly concerned is you can't really double Danielle Hunter now because you got Yannick Ngakoue on the other side. So that was just kind of the only reason why I'm slightly concerned. You know, obviously, when you got David Bakhtiari, it doesn't matter who he pairs up against. He's going to lock him down because he's one of the best tackles in the NFL. But it's the other guys. You know, it's kind of like when the Chargers, they have Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. You can't really double one guy because then you'll leave the other one-on-one, and they could beat him with ease. You know, that's the only side of caution that I pair up against is – you can't really double Yannick Ngakoue because then you'll have Danielle Hunter, and Danielle Hunter is starting to break out. You can't really double Danielle Hunter because you got Yannick Ngakoue. So that's my only slight concern that I have. Obviously, I don't think it'll be a problem in the division. You know, I think we both agree. We still got Green Bay finishing on top of the NFC North. They're pretty much bringing back the same team as last year, some a little different pieces. But I kind of want to go in on the Jaguars side. And what a fall from grace for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, just about three years ago, they were a quarter away from the Super Bowl with a very good defense. And now, essentially, those main stars on that defense are elsewhere. You know, Calais Campbell in Baltimore, Yannick Ngakoue in Minnesota, Jalen Ramsey with the Rams, Boye with the Broncos. I mean, a lot of key veteran pieces gone. And, you know, I kind of want to add on to the question to you, Caleb. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, where do you go from here? You know, obviously you hear Gardner Minshew saying, we're not trying to tank, but the last couple moves that they made, it doesn't look like they're going to win a lot of games. So if you are Jacksonville, what are kind of your expectations for the Jags this upcoming season?
Simply just, you know, do the best they can, see what they do have that works with their system that they plan to build, you know, their visionable system. So I think this year is like a scouting year. They're going to work with what they do have, see what they have, work with what they have, and, you know, build out a new roster from then on. So it's like it's obvious situation. I hope that for them to lose a lot of games so they can get Trevor Lawrence or something like that, and that would be good for them. But, you know, obviously it is a situation with it where they're obviously going into a rebuild, and, you know, that's something we can see. They knew that the team they had wasn't good enough to win a chip. It wasn't good enough to win a chip. And maybe they would have been. Maybe they did have to win a chip on paper. You know, you have Jalen Ramsey as your star cornerback at one point. And then they did have a lot of good defensive players, really good defensive players. But you see what they did with them. They obviously let those guys go. And it's not like those guys were all that old, you know what I'm saying? That defense was fairly young, and now those guys are at other places doing their thing now. So you see what happened with their defense. They did have the potential, but ultimately I think they just didn't see that they could be good enough and you know, win a championship and get that far. So it's obviously they're approaching a rebuild, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you as well, Caleb. I feel like it's just kind of wait and see with Jacksonville. They're kind of going to take this season, see what they have in their young players, see what they have in Gardner Minshew. And obviously, you know, Gardner Minshew, he said some things. You know, he obviously, you know, he's a confident guy. He told the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, you're going to regret drafting a quarterback in the first round, but I'm gonna be honest, if you're that bad and you have Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence available, I'm taking one of those guys to instantly speed up my rebuild 10 times out of 10. Don't get me wrong, love Gardner Minshew, love the kind of story that he's had. You know, I even heard, I think there's like a little Bud Light thing going on. So, I mean, it's a great story for Gardner Minshew, but if I have the first overall pick and I see Trevor Lawrence there, I'm sorry, I'm taking Trevor Lawrence instead of Gardner Minshew 10 times out of 10. I would rather have a guy that's the number one overall pick than a guy that was drafted in the sixth or seventh round. But kind of like I stated beforehand, I think this is just a year for Jacksonville where we're going to see kind of the young guys, you know, their draft that they had, C.J. Henderson, and they also got Clayson out of LSU. So those will be interesting guys to see. And also being able to see kind of their edge rusher and Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen, he was kind of a guy that was kind of a backup for Calais Campbell when he was there in Jacksonville. And, you know, now that they're all gone, it's kind of wait and see what Jacksonville is able to do with the young players that they have. Let's move on to another topic of discussion. Another former Jaguar that's elsewhere, running back Leonard Fournette. And the rich just keep on getting richer. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers landed their sights on Leonard Fournette. I mean, what an offseason Tampa Bay has had. You know, we've discussed it in previous episodes. A loaded team. Got Tom Brady, Evans, Godwin, tight ends. You got Gronk. You got O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. Now a running back room with Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy. I mean, this offense is scary good. Caleb, with Leonard Fournette going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how much more scarier do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get? And does this improve their chances of going to Super Bowl 55?
Well, when I seen this move at first, I had posted it on my Instagram. I said, we're just ring chasing now. And I just thought he'd go somewhere else. I kind of see, like, for most players right now, just going to Tampa Bay to get that ring or that winning experience is the move right now. I'm not saying that I'm against it, you know. People want to win. That's what people go in the league for. They want to win. It's not about anything else but winning every Sunday. So you want to be a part of a winning team. You want to be a part of a winning culture. At first, I guess I'd say I'd overreacted to the move just because I was like, he's ring chasing. I heard some other, you know, reporters, analysts on NFL live, and they kind of changed my perspective on it. You know, of course, he's a weapon. He's something that they're gonna use. But then there's no way his talent is going to be as maximized as it could have been if he would have went somewhere else where, you know, he would have got the opportunity more. They just would have utilized him more. Not to say that they're not gonna utilize him there, but you know, he has a lot of guys by his side, Ronald Jones, LeSean McCoy, and two other running backs. I don't know their full names. I know they have two other running backs on that roster, as they do still have O.J. Howard, Rob Gronkowski, and they still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So the ball is going to be in Brady, and then it's going to go to Gronk's hands, and then to the receiver's hands, and then to those three, four other running backs. So it's not like Leonard Fournette is going to have mad carries and have mad yards. But, you know, there will be some games where he might have 10 carries, 23 yards, but two touchdowns. Or, you know, it's not like his talent will be maxed out at, like, if he would have went to, like, the Eagles, let's say. If he would have went to the Eagles,
or
he
would have been
getting 20. Or with New England. But if he would have went to, both of those teams, he's getting 20 carries a game, being featured in the pass game, really seeing what he could do with a good, reliable quarterback in Carson Wentz or Cam Newton, with a good, reliable coach in Doug Peterson or Bill Belichick. And he still has a good, reliable coach in Bruce Arians and a great, reliable quarterback in Tom Brady. So, you know, it's definitely A-plus for him. But, you know, his talent won't be maxed. So, you fantasy owners, watch out. Don't bite too early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100% agree with you as well, Caleb. I feel like for Leonard Fournette going to Tampa Bay, I was surprised. You know, I thought for sure Leonard Fournette was going to go to New England, because in my opinion, if Leonard Fournette's in New England, he's going to get all the touches. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, James White, Sony Michel, they're okay. But if you get a guy like Leonard Fournette, he's going to hog up all the touches. But him going to Tampa Bay, kind of like what you said, Caleb, I did see your post. I kind of chuckled a little bit because it might seem accurate. He was ring chasing, and I mean, let's be honest, you know, ever since his rookie year in Jacksonville, he hasn't really felt a winning culture. You know, I mean, his rookie year in Jacksonville, they made it to the AFC Championship game, but afterwards they were kind of in a losing mentality kind of way. So him going to Tampa Bay, you know, he still gets to stay in the state of Florida, but just move a little further south. And he's in a good spot where they can compete. And what's good for Leonard Fournette is the pressure isn't all on him. Like when he was in Jacksonville, that offense, everything was all centered towards Fournette. When he goes to Tampa Bay, you think of all other things before Leonard Fournette. You think of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. You think of Rob Gronkowski, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. Then you have Tom Brady as a quarterback. And then you go into the running back tree of Fournette, Jones, McCoy. So definitely a lot of things to think of before Leonard Fournette. And obviously, Caleb, you made a good point. Stay away from Leonard Fournette if you're in fantasy. Don't draft him early. In my opinion, in fantasy-wise, if Leonard Fournette is still available late, I'd say why not? Go ahead, snag him up if he's available late. But early-wise, don't expect to take Leonard Fournette in the top of your fantasy draft. Get him more late. Like more of a seventh or eighth rounder if he's still there.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly that. I would agree with you. I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And let's move on from another player that was released. This happened a couple days ago as well. Safety originally on the Baltimore Ravens, Earl Thomas. What an offseason Earl Thomas has had. You know, he originally was a free safety for the Baltimore Ravens, had a good season, 14-2, but then everything changed in the division round against the Tennessee Titans. And I'm pretty sure everybody remembers a game where Derrick Henry turned Earl Thomas into a lead blocker. And really ever since then, you know, his offseason has kind of gone downhill. You know, he got turned into a lead blocker, and then during the offseason, him and his brother did a tag team on some women, and his wife, his spouse, pulled a gun on him. And now he's released from the Baltimore Ravens, and he's still unsigned. You know, I mean, when you look at the kind of accolades that Earl Thomas has had, you know, you think of a guy who shouldn't be released from one of the best teams in the AFC. But now that he's released, you expect him to sign soon with another team. But teams are kind of staying off on Earl Thomas. And I kind of want to go to you, Caleb. How surprised are you that a team hasn't signed Earl Thomas yet?
I'm really surprised now that I really pay attention to it. I really am surprised. I thought he would have been picked up by the Cowboys by now. I think we all could have expected that. And it's a little bit weird that he cleared waivers and he's now not with the team. And I'm really just noticing that right now. His talent could be usable anywhere. Obviously, he's still talented. The problem is a distraction in the locker room. Tough to admit, but it may be a problem. And hey, that might be the reason teams don't want to take that risk on him. Being that that's the case, if I was a team, I would take a risk on him. I wouldn't be bad to see the Saints take a risk on him. We need that help in our secondary, and we're trying to shoot to win a championship this year. So why not pull the trigger on him, I feel like. And I heard the Saints were talking about Jadeveon Clowney and talking to him. I also want to bring that up as well. We got the Saints thinking about getting Jadeveon Clowney. Well, if that's the case for the Saints, why not go in on Jadeveon Clowney and Earl Thomas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely made a good case there. I'm also agreeing with you as well, Kev. I was kind of surprised the Ravens went this route. I mean, when I first heard a report that Earl Thomas and a teammate got in a scuffle at practice, I'm just like, oh, you know, it's just a regular practice, you know. Miscue, you get in a fight, that's practice. That's what happens. But then when I kind of heard the news that it was one of the team leaders and they might look to cut Earl Thomas, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, Earl Thomas might actually be released from one of the top teams in the AFC. And, you know, hearing that he got released from the Baltimore Ravens, I was a little surprised. I mean, you look, I believe last year was his first year in Baltimore. And, you know, they seem to be good, you know, until the division run against Tennessee. And him clearing waivers, I mean, I know this might be a little bold to say, but I think it could be like an Antonio Brown situation. I feel like the reason why Antonio Brown isn't on a team is because of all the drama and the issues that he brought into a locker room. You know, I kind of get the same similarities with Earl Thomas. I mean, Earl Thomas, in his prime, he was probably the best safety in the NFL, and now he's off a team, and possibly because of locker room issues. And locker room issues is key. You know, you could be a great talent-wise, but if you have a locker room problem, players and teammates aren't going to like you and they aren't going to support you. I mean, we've heard all the rumors of the Dallas Cowboys trying to get Earl Thomas, yet they haven't pulled the trigger yet. And, you know, Jerry Jones is a stern man. You know, Jerry Jones is going to forever stick to his word. And, you know, if Jerry Jones really wants a player, he'll go get that player. But if he doesn't, he's going to stay away from it. And this may be crazy bold But I'm going to say it. If Earl Thomas isn't signed by week one, don't be surprised if the New England Patriots get Earl Thomas for a Cam Newton type of deal. Don't be surprised about that, because we look at New England, they have a lot of guys who opted out on that defensive side of the ball. You still have Stephon Gilmore, but can you imagine if you could get a Earl Thomas for a cheap deal for 1 year to help out that defense? I mean,
and potentially sign him for, you know, maybe another 2 years on top of that.
Yeah,
that would definitely be scary, bro. That would definitely be scary. I don't see why the Patriots don't pull the trigger now. I don't really agree with you when you say it's an Antonio Brown situation, but then I do agree with you at the same time, because he did have that little situation with his wife and stuff. So I understand that. I understand he could be a cancer in the locker room. But, it boils down to, it's all just politics, man. People talk. And at the end of the day, there's somebody at the top of the rink that presses that button, no matter if it's a trade or a fucking free agency signing. It's somebody that says, yes, let's do it. And then at the end of the day, if there are too many people with the wrong negative narrative in his ear about it, ultimately, it'll be harder for you to get a deal, I feel like. And that's just the politics side of sports. And you know, it happens in not professional sports, but high school sports, middle school sports, AAU sports, all sports. Mm-hmm. Politics is a real thing. That type of shit is a real thing. Those guys should be on teams, but again, if you're cancer in the locker room, people talk. At the end of the day, it's up to one person to pull that trigger. And if that narrative is wrong and in their ear, it's going to be a lot harder for you to come that way. So, you know, people just have to learn to, you know, adjust rather than, you know,
yeah,
be a adjuster too.
Yeah, but most definitely. I wish Earl Thomas nothing but the best. You know, I think we all agree. Like, we hope that Earl Thomas gets signed to any team in the offseason, because Earl Thomas on the field, he makes an immediate impact on a defense, no matter what his age is, just because of what he's capable of. I mean, people forget, you know, before Earl Thomas hurt his legs, you know, he was one of the best safeties in the NFL when he's with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, he was a core member, you know, of that Legion of Boom defense. You know, when the Seahawks had Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, with Earl Thomas, you know, his name was mentioned up there. And, you know, I just hope Earl Thomas gets signed to a team and kind of go from there. Let's move on to another player that's still unsigned. Caleb mentioned his name earlier. His name is Jadeveon Clowney. And, you know, there have been a lot of teams that have been interested in Jadeveon Clowney. And, you know, I'm going to name a couple of teams that, you know, have threw out an offer, either haven't signed him yet or just threw out an offer. I remember hearing reports of Jadeveon Clowney, you know, the Cleveland Browns offered him a 1-year contract, 2-year contract, even a 3-year contract worth $17, $18 million a year. And he still said no to that. There has also been, you know, the Tennessee Titans have threw their name in the list. And Caleb even mentioned the New Orleans Saints have thrown their name in the hat of Jadeveon Clowney. And Jadeveon Clowney, in fact, has even parted ways with his own agent, Buss Cook. So with all those news that have kind of broken down with Jadeveon Clowney, Caleb, if you were in Jadeveon Clowney's shoes, what team do you believe would be the best situation for him to, one, make an immediate impact, and two, to have a chance to win right away?
If you could go ahead and repeat your last part of the question for me one more time, brother.
Okay, so the first part of the question I said was, if you're Jadeveon Clowney, what team do you believe will he make the most impact on if he signs? And two, what team do you believe would have a chance for him to win right away?
If I'm him, those three teams you offered, you know, Browns, he adds value to the Browns. So with the Browns, he's going to be all right. He adds some value. They're going to get better. Don't know what they could do, but they're going to get better. Tight ends, he adds value. They're going to get better. You've seen what they could do. Not to say that they could do it again as easy as they did it the first time, but he adds value. He makes them better. You look at the Saints, and he definitely adds value. You see what they could do. You've known what they should have been doing. And then for him, I think it should kind of like light up to him, like, oh, like he is like the X factor. He might be that piece that the Saints need that is just brings them over the top and that gets them that Super Bowl that we've been, you know, saying we should have had a shot at the past two years in a row. So he can almost be that X factor, that missing piece to the puzzle that, you know, gets the Saints over the hump to win the bowl. And I mean, I think that should be enticing to him. And if they could offer him the right amount of money for him to get paid and accept it, it should be good. One thing about him getting paid is that he's waiting until after like free agency waivers clear. So I heard that he's waiting. It'll be like sometime before week one or maybe after week one. But he's waiting until he's waiting until the cut date is. So once they cut all the players off their team, he's waiting because some teams may have a little bit more money to pay him. So after that date is, if you look it up, it's the day that everybody gets cut. The
cut down day. The 58
man roster. Yeah, the cut down day, basically. The 58 man roster day. That day is when he'll reevaluate. And then he'll really go and look after those offers and then obviously accept one. I'm sure he wants to play. So he'll obviously accept one. And those teams, if they want to put in a bigger offer, because, you know, they cut some players, they can. And that could possibly, you know, be what draws them to Cleveland, Tennessee, or New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. In my opinion, I believe his best situation to go to is the New Orleans Saints. You know, I believe for sure. I believe the New Orleans Saints have the perfect recipe for those two things, to him making an immediate impact right away and for him making the best chance to win now. I mean, Cleveland offered him three contracts, and he said no all three times. So it doesn't look like he wants to be in Cleveland, even though, in my opinion, I feel like it'd benefit him the most because, I mean, you look at – he's got Myles Garrett on the other side, and, you know, he doesn't really have to be doubled because you got Myles Garrett on the other side. So I feel like, personally, for stats-wise, you know, Cleveland would be a good option to go to just because you could improve your stats, one-year deal, and then get paid even more if you want to. But to win now, you know, I think it's New Orleans. I mean, Tennessee – you know, they just recently made it to the AFC Championship game last year, but I think that's going to be a fluke year. You know, I believe Tannehill was just hot at the right time, and they just basically gave it to Derrick Henry and said, Derrick Henry, win us football games. You know, I think Tennessee is going to come back down to earth this upcoming year. You know, I think they made a mistake giving Tannehill that big contract. I think they should have went all in on Tom Brady. I feel like if the Tennessee Titans wanted to win a Super Bowl, they should have, like, backed the trucks up for Tom Brady and get him to Tennessee instead of Tampa Bay. But that did not happen. They decided to go with Tannehill. They did pay Derrick Henry as well, which I believe was a smart decision for them. But I think Tennessee's going back down to earth. But you look at New Orleans. New Orleans has probably one of the best – New Orleans is probably one of the best teams in the NFC. You know, you look at top teams in the NFC, New Orleans is right up there. You know, then it's Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Green Bay. You know, you got a lot of teams up there. New Orleans is the top dog. In my opinion, if I was Jadeveon Clowney, I don't care what kind of money I'm given. I want to go to New Orleans so I could, one, boost up my stats. Because, I mean, you look at on that front, you know, but besides Cameron Jordan, you know, who else makes an impact on the rush? You know, it really isn't anybody. If you could get Jadeveon Clowney on the other side of Cameron Jordan, That's going to be scary because you look at the Saints, and from an offensive line perspective, you can't really double Cam Jordan because then you got Clowney on the other side. So, you know, his best chance, in my opinion, for him to win now and make an impact is definitely the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
And,
I would agree with you, dude.
Yep, and let's move on to some other news. There have been, just today, there have been two contract extensions. Houston Texans extended Deshaun Watson 4 years, $160 million extension. And it is, in fact, for Deshaun Watson, it is the second highest paid quarterback deal in the NFL. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is the highest paid, but Deshaun Watson is the number two guy. And also, Keenan Allen inks in his contract extension, 4 years, $80 million deal. We'll start off with Deshaun Watson, and I'll go to you, Caleb. Do you believe the Texans made the right choice extending Deshaun Watson for 4 years, $160 million?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Yeah, I do. I think he's a quarterback that can get it done. 4 years is definitely not too much time. You know, it's not too big of a deal as 10 years. You know, he's locked in for four, and after that four, you know, he can decide to go anywhere else, wherever he pleases. I hope within these next 4 years they can get him the weapons for him to, you know, compete and win the Super Bowl. He's definitely looks like a quarterback that can get it done with the right weapons around him on both the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. They're gonna have to do something with their coach in their front office. And until that changes, I really don't see them winning a Super Bowl. But they definitely do have a piece to get there, and that's the quarterback. I emphasize that so much. You need a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and I think Watson has the potential to be one. It's all about the front office and them getting the pieces to make the right team, and that's all they need, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hit it right on the money. I also agree with you as well. I feel like they kind of had no other option. You know, I mean, when you trade a superstar receiver like DeAndre Hopkins because you didn't want to extend him, it obviously means that, you know, you're going to extend Watson. And it wasn't a matter of if, it was when. And today is the day. 4 years, $160 million. Not really surprising. I mean, you look at with the top QBs in the AFC, it's Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and then Deshaun Watson is right there at number three. So if you're the Houston Texans, the key to winning an NFL is having their quarterback from the future. And it looks like the Houston Texans have their quarterback of the future. And obviously, like you stated, Caleb, they will have to get them good weapons. You know, the kind of weapons that they have right now is kind of a receiver by committee. You know, they got Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills, Will Fuller, Randall Cobb. A lot of weapons, so, I mean, let's just kind of see what kind of success they're able to put upon together. And obviously, you know, like you said, you know, as long as the coach and GM, Bill O'Brien, is still there, you know, it's going to be very hard to win because he's not really, you know, that good of a coach or a GM. So hopefully Deshaun
I just think he lost his players. I think he doesn't have control of the locker room. That's something that we'll be hearing this year within the season. I just feel like he lost his players. He just doesn't have control over the locker room. And as a coach, but not only a coach, as a GM, you know, you definitely have to have that. You want that in your coach. And I think the locker room has definitely been lost. Their trust has been lost because the DeAndre Hopkins trade was unexplainable. I just don't get it. And if they're a better team this year, then maybe it does make sense. And we do understand. But as of now, that's just how I feel. Feeling?
Yeah, 100% agree as well. And, you know, it's kind of one of those situations where, you know, if you do trade your superstar receiver, you just kind of wish you got a better haul. You know, like DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, you saw the haul that the Bills gave up for Stephon Diggs. I mean, the Bills, they gave up a first-round pick and some more picks on top of that. And I'm pretty sure everybody agrees that Hopkins is a better receiver than Diggs. So you just wish that they could have got more than just David Johnson, a second round pick. Maybe they should have just gotten like maybe two first, Walls a second with David Johnson. But, you know, Houston Texans, they have a plan. You know, they have Deshaun Watson locked up long term, and let's kind of see what happens from there for the Houston Texans. And let's close out the NFL side of this episode with the Keenan Allen extension. He got extended, the Los Angeles Chargers receivers, 4 years, $80 million extension. I'll go to you, Caleb. When you hear the news that Keenan Allen got extended for 4 years, $80 million, one of the most underrated receivers in the league, how glad are you that the Chargers gave Keenan Allen the money that he deserves?
Oh, man, that's crazy. That's you ask. How glad are you? That's crazy. Honestly, I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to tell it.
Let's hear it.
So allow me to tell this story. Everybody listening, if you're in your car, your room, your college dorm, your room, your car, with your girl, wherever you may be, whatever you're doing, I don't know, but just grab some popcorn, kick back, and listen. So I got DeAndre Hopkins in a fantasy draft last year. You know, reason being, I think he was the best receiver in a draft last year. Yep. We could all agree that Hopkins had the edge over Thomas. Thomas just proved that, hey, I'm like really here now and like I'm number one. So that's what he did. Now Thomas is number one. But last year I got a Hopkins, and Hopkins the first like 4 weeks was doing garbage. So what I decided to do, I seen, oh my God, Keenan Allen is doing good. And I was like, yeah, I definitely want him. There was another receiver I had traded for, and Will Dissly, and like Melvin Gordon, I think something like that. But Keenan Allen was a receiver that was doing good at the beginning of last year. And then I ended up, you know, trading DeAndre Hopkins and a couple other guys to land him, Dissly, and a running back. I think Melvin Gordon. And ultimately, it didn't work out for me. And before that year, I never really knew of Keenan Allen like that. Like, not that I didn't know of him, just never watched him. And since he was on my fantasy team, that obviously I had to watch him more. So with that being said, I started watching him more. He's a great receiver, runs great routes, great player, talented player. But he just didn't perform well. He did not perform well last year. At the end of last year, he sucked balls. He's fucking ass for me in fantasy. So, no, I just seeing his performance last year, I didn't think it was logical. But you know, he can care less about my fantasy league. That's not what they go out there for. I definitely understand that. So I'm just saying, I wouldn't have paid him that. Well, he got paid, and that's what we love to see. We love to see people get paid, our athletes get paid. So he got paid. We love to see it. Congratulations to him. But fuck no, I definitely wouldn't have expected that. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, that was definitely a good story to tell. I actually had no idea you traded DeAndre Hopkins for Keenan Allen.
Well, hold on. Let me keep your popcorn in your hand. I'm finna tell the rest of the story. So, I actually ended up trading fucking DeAndre Hopkins, David Johnson, and Stephon Diggs for Keenan Allen, Will Dissly, and I think Melvin Gordon. I think that was the full amount of the trade right there. I had needed a tight end. I had already had. I'm just a receiver guru. Like, I just know who's are going to be those guys. So I already have solid receivers that give me solid points. Mm-hmm. And I needed a tight end and just beat me in my ass, bro. So
The trade on paper, it looks great. But then when you come to find out, you know, Will Dissly tore his ACL that season. And then Melvin Gordon, when he came back.
First game I got him.
First game you got. Was that the game where he went off against Green Bay in week 9?
No, I think he might have had like 8 points to start the game. Yeah, he started the game with like 3 catches. And then that fourth time, he got hurt. Mm. And after he got hurt, you know, it was over for him. So that first, once I made that trade, boom, that went down. Then I had Gordon and I had Josh Jacobs in there. Jacobs was a spark. He did good for me. Mm. But Gordon, he just, you're just sitting on your couch waiting for him to have that week. And he had a couple 16-point weeks, but not same.
Yeah, that's not, that's definitely tough there. But on the bright side, I mean, when I saw the Keenan Allen extension, actually, Caleb, before we filmed this episode, actually told me, he was like, yo, Matt, let's talk about Keenan Allen getting paid his money. I'm like, Keenan Allen got paid? Like, I was kind of surprised. But looking at the contract situation, and it's kind of, you know, he earned his money. And like what Caleb said, you know, the key in the NFL, win games, make a lot of money. And Keenan Allen is definitely going to be secured. Now his bag is secured. Now let's see if it translates into wins, because it really seems like that 2018 Chargers team was more of a fluke than it is consistency. Because, I mean, we look at last year, it was a disaster. You know, the offensive line wasn't good. You know, Phillip Rivers didn't perform well because the offensive line wasn't any good. They won 5 games last year. They were last in the division. Now they got maybe their future quarterback in Justin Herbert, you know, who isn't starting. You know, Anthony Lynn said that Tyrod Taylor was going to be their week one starter. You know, I was obviously wasn't surprised about that. You know, my opinion, wait and see to see how Herbert develops. But, you know, on to Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen, you know, he's one of the most underappreciated receivers in the NFL. You know, not a lot of people talk about Keenan Allen as one of the best receivers. You know, everybody says Hopkins, Thomas, Julio, Evans, Adams, Tyreek Hill. I believe I even said Mike Evans. Now people start talking about Godwin, but a lot of people are forgetting about Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen, he's a kind of receiver where, you know, if he's healthy, you know, he could get you almost 1,000 yards a season, you know, when healthy. So, you know, and when you pay him that kind of money, you know, 4 years, $80 million with $50 million guaranteed, the Chargers have really high hopes in him. And let's hope he could keep it that way.
Yeah, no, definitely. So you say Tyrod Taylor is starting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor, Anthony Lynn said, is their week one starter, with Herbert being the backup.
Okay, well, you know, I'm waiting to see what they could do with Herbert. I'm waiting to see what they could do with Herbert.
I think what the Chargers are doing, and I think this is smart. If I were the Chargers, I'd let Herbert sit out this whole first year, and let Tyrod Taylor play, and then maybe, If you're eliminated from the playoffs and you don't have anything else to play, maybe the final 2-3 weeks of the season, then I'd say throw in Herbert and then see what you can do. But my opinion, you know, I think the Chargers are taking the smart approach. No need to rush your rookie quarterback. I mean, we saw it last year with what the Washington football team did. You know, it seemed like they just threw in Haskins in the fire so Gruden wouldn't get fired. And, you know, he struggled. He struggled his rookie year, you know, didn't really do well. Obviously, you know, Haskins, he is a starter for the Washington football team in week one. Ron Rivera did name him as a week one starter. So hopefully he bounces back. But, you know, when you're a young quarterback, you don't want to be rushed in, unless if you're the number one overall pick like Joe Burrow and there really isn't any other quarterbacks you trust. You know, that's the only time you throw him in. But, you know, if you're the Miami Dolphins and Tua, you're the Chargers and Justin Herbert, you know, they made smart choices. You know, Chargers starting Tyrod Taylor instead of Justin Herbert, good decision. And, you know, kind of, you know, let's see what the Chargers go from there. And now let's move on into the NBA side of things. The first round is finished. You know, we saw a lot of things happen in the first round. We saw the top seed Lakers and Bucks take care of business against the 8 seeds in 5 games. We saw the Dallas Mavericks push the Los Angeles Clippers into 6 games. And, you know, we also saw, you know, the Sixers got swept by Boston. The Pacers got swept by Miami. and we saw the Raptors sweep the Nets. But probably one of the best series we saw in the first round was Denver. They came back from a 3-1 deficit. They beat the Utah Jazz. It was all a great game. Same with the Houston Rockets, OKC Thunder. Houston was up 2-0. OKC came back to tie the series at 2. Houston won 5, Thunder won 6, and then Houston went on to win Game 7. Very great first round, but this second round, boy, what a surprise this second round has been. You know, and we'll even start off with last night. Obviously, Caleb and I were big Laker fans, you know, diehard. You know, we hope that they get banner 17. But I kind of want to go to you, Caleb. What were your thoughts on the Lakers' performance last night, game one against the Houston Rockets?
It was tough to see them like that, man. It was really tough to see us like that, you know. But, you know, it's just game one. I'm relaxed. It's just game one. They got to beat us 4 times in a row. And like I said, it's just game one, bro. So I think, you know, we'll be fine as long as we bounce back in game two. And we'll try our best to get a win. But, you know, we definitely can't get too comfortable. We can't get too relaxed because, you know, that's where they'll come back to bite us. We don't want to go down 2-0. We obviously just want to win this game, even the series out, and go from there. We definitely don't want to go down 2-0. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I 100% agree with you as well. I feel like it was a disappointing performance. You know, obviously Rondo came back, but I feel like they gave Rondo too many minutes. I feel like Frank Vogel has to make more adjustments. I want to see Frank Vogel put in Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith more minutes. Let's be honest. Danny Green has not showed up in the NBA playoffs one bit. KCP has sort of bounced back a little bit. You know, KCP struggled, but you know, he hit his shots, but you know, we have not seen Danny Green show up at all. And if I'm Frank Vogel, and I kind of want to see the Lakers play Anthony Davis at the 5. I mean, you look at the Rockets, they run the small ball lineup, and somehow I think there's a stat where it showed they out-rebounded us. And if I'm Frank Vogel and the Lakers, that's unacceptable. And, you know, obviously, you know, like you said, Caleb, I'm not nervous at all. When the Trailblazers took game one over the Lakers, I wasn't concerned. You know, it's just one game. And I don't know what it is. Me being a Lakers fan, for some odd reason, I feel like I'm cursing the Lakers. I don't know why. Game one against the Portland Trailblazers, I have a Magic Johnson Classic jersey. I have a Magic Johnson Classic jersey, and I have a little 09 championship rings for the Lakers. I wore that game one. And they got humiliated. And then I didn't wear the rest of the series. They won 4 straight.
Ah.
And here I am, game one against the Houston Rockets. It's a Laker game. I wear the Magic Johnson jersey. I have the ring on. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way we lose game one. What happens? They lose game one by double-digit points. I'm just like, well, great. Great. I can't wear any gear. Well, so there's a game. So whenever game two comes around, I'm not gonna wear any Laker gear. I'm gonna see what happens. Because if that's the case, I just can't win anything in the playoffs. And that's tough because I want to support the team. But if I wear the gear and they don't perform, like there comes a time where you know superstition comes in and you gotta take the superstition on what's best for the team. So
yeah.
I mean, yeah. you and I both agree. You know, we both believe the Lakers will bounce back in this series. I do believe, you know, there will definitely be panic from both of us if we go down 0-2. And which kind of leads on to the next team. This next team, in my opinion, is in full panic mode and full disappointment. The Milwaukee Bucks are down 0-3 to the Miami Heat. And Caleb, how surprised are you that Miami is just throttling the Milwaukee Bucks this badly?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I honestly feel that Miami has a solid team. Like, they're built solid. They have, on paper, like, they're, like, at least 11 deep. Like, they have a solid team, bro. So, You know, I'm not surprised at all. But then again, I can't say I am surprised because I did expect more from the I did expect more from the Bucks, and we obviously didn't get that. So, you know, this is definitely questionable for Giannis. Like, how do you feel? What do you think he's gonna be doing? I'm a little bit curious to see because I feel like, you know, they're really in a position right now. It's just very
Yeah, definitely a situation. And in my opinion, if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, if I get swept game four, if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks GM, Budenholzer's out of there. Even though Mike Budenholzer has led Milwaukee to back-to-back one seeds, last 2 years in the playoffs, he has been disappointing. I mean, we look at the Milwaukee Bucks last year, were 2 games away from the NBA Finals. They were dominating the Raptors the first 2 games. And rookie head coach Nick Nurse, all it took him was a couple of days. He decided to click in his head, I got a defensive player of the year, player Kawhi Leonard. Why don't I just have Kawhi Leonard guard Giannis? And what happened? Kawhi locked him up. They shut him down. They went 4 straight. And what are the Miami Heat doing this series? They're basically doing what Toronto did. You know what, Giannis? We're not going to let you drive. We're going to physically block you up. Let's see what you got. And they're doing that same thing, and it's not working. And Mike Budenholzer just hasn't made any adjustments. And in my opinion, this kind of reminds me of, remember when Mike Budenholzer coached Atlanta in 2015? They won 60 games. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and LeBron just straight up swept them. I feel like this is what's brewing here in Milwaukee. And I don't see Milwaukee coming back. And in my opinion, this has got to be the most embarrassing moment, you know, for the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, and this is even embarrassing for Giannis as well. You look at Giannis Antetokounmpo. He won Defensive Player of the Year, which he should not have. That is Anthony Davis's award 9 times out of 10. AD should have deserved that Defensive Player of the Year. Even though I am a Laker fan, I am showing bias. That is a fact. Anthony Davis should have got that award instead of Giannis. And we look at Giannis. This is going to be his back-to-back MVP season and back-to-back years. He shrunk in the playoffs. So it's a situation where, you know, if you're the Milwaukee front office, and I've stated beforehand, I basically stated if Giannis doesn't win a title these next 2 years in Milwaukee, he's leaving. And the way how it is playing out this season, and they're going to lose in the second round to Miami, that's a tough one. And don't get me wrong, the front office, they have built a good team. You know, they've built a good team around Giannis. Budenholzer just not getting the job done, and Chris Middleton isn't getting the job done either. And it just seems like Milwaukee is, I mean, Caleb and I were in Unwrapped Sports, in the Unwrapped Sports Network. I threw out in the chat, I basically said the Milwaukee Bucks are the most disappointing team in the playoffs, and their head coach is basically Mike Budenholzer is basically like Andy Reid before he won the Super Bowl. And I basically stated that, you know, they're great in the regular season, but can't get it done in the playoffs. And that's where I feel like it's gonna be. And you know, and I gotta give a lot of credit to the Miami Heat. I feel like this is the Miami Heat. This is where Eric Spoelstra is submitting his legacy as a great head coach. You know, Spoelstra, he's obviously mentioned, you know, he won back-to-back titles with the Heat when he had LeBron. But it's kind of what Spoelstra has been able to do without LeBron and Chris Bosh, you know, on that team. He has made the Miami Heat respectable team. And them being a fifth seed with how Spoelstra is doing, with how Jimmy Butler is doing and the rest of the players, Miami is, seems like a very good team. And if I'm the Celtics or the Raptors, I watch out for Miami because Miami is no joke this year. And I kind of want to hear what you got to say, Caleb. If you're the Miami Heat, well, here, you know what? Let me word it this way. Do the Miami Heat have a chance to win the championship this season?
Yeah, they do. You have to accept it, bro. You have to accept it. We all have to come to this, this is what I call an acceptance. It's over. It's over. it's over. Giannis is going home. It's over. We could advance into the conference finals. Okay?
Yep.
And let's say we do. All right. That's cool. Okay. Now, they got to go and get the Celtics or the Raptors.
I thought
the Raptors were going to win this series. I'm going to be honest at first. I thought they were going to win this series. After game two, they did get lucky. That was a great game to watch. The Unwrapped group chat, actually, I'm going to keep it all the way 100. I love Unwrapped. You already know what Unwrapped. But since we've been in Unwrapped group chat, I don't know what goes on, but they have everything a second quicker than I have it. So they're already talking about it. And I look at down my phone, and I already know it's happening before it happens. So I'm not going to lie. With that game, I kept looking down my phone, and I'm looking at the game, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know what happens before it's going to happen. So the Raptors at 0.5, they go into that timeout. And at that timeout, I was like, I've got to mute this group chat, because if I don't mute this group chat, I'm not going to know what happens right now. It's not going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. So I muted the group chat, right? And when I meet the group chat, Toronto fucking makes the shot. And that was so crazy to see. You know, it was super crazy to see. Cool to see at the same time. But I do think Miami has a shot. I think Miami has a shot. I'm not underestimating them. They beat the number one seed. Language looks amazing. They look like they want to be there. They look prepared. They just look really good. You know what I'm saying? So I really do think Miami has a shot to win and I mean get to the finals. I really do.
I agree with you as well. I feel like Miami has a great chance to make the NBA finals. And I feel like this is Jimmy Butler's moment. You know, Jimmy, I mean, people say that Jimmy Butler, he's not good in the locker room, you know, he tears his players apart. But all Jimmy Butler wants to do is win. You know, he didn't really feel that in Minnesota. You know, I mean, we even saw reports like 2 years ago, like he basically went with like the second or third stringers and played the starters. And, you know, he basically schooled the starters, you know, and Jimmy Butler basically told the front office, you know, like these starters fucking suck. And basically, and he basically said like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, I would go like Horace Grant, but they straight up bitches. Like they don't want to win. And, you know, looking back at it, Jimmy Butler's kind of right. You know, I mean, we look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, they got the number one overall pick not competing, and Jimmy Butler's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And even when he was with Philadelphia, you know, and I mean, people forget, you know, Philadelphia, they were basically a Kawhi Leonard shot away from the conference finals. And basically, Jimmy Butler stated, you know, I'm not coming back to Philly because Brett Brown. And, you know, he basically stated, you know, just get me to Miami. And, you know, we all underestimated Miami. We all thought Miami was going to be a team. Oh, great. They got Jimmy Butler. They're probably going to be the bottom seeds of the playoffs, you know, a 6, 7, or 8, losing the first round. But, man, they have came together as a group. And this is a perfect culture fit for Jimmy Butler. I mean, you look at Miami with Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, they just don't mess around. They just simply have players that just want to win. And you also have to give credit to Miami Heat for their rookies, you know, like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, they have stepped up big time here in the bubble. And, you know, and obviously you never know. I mean, no team has ever came back from a 3-0, but it can happen. But as the way things look right now, I feel like that game 3 loss that Milwaukee had, I think that's a backbreaker. I mean, they just looked defeated. They looked defeated, I honestly say, with 4 minutes left in the fourth. When there was 4 minutes left in the fourth, they just looked defeated. They weren't doing anything at all. I honestly think if they don't fire Boonholzer, I think Giannis is going to leave Milwaukee. You know, I mean, I hate to say that. You know, Milwaukee is my second NBA team. You know, I like the Packers, and you have to support local Wisconsin teams. But I just hate to say it. But after this series, it looks like Giannis is nearing leaving Miami. Leave nearing Milwaukee. And it's just kind of hard to see because you look in Milwaukee, they've built a great team around Giannis, some great shooters, but they're just not showing up in the playoffs. And this is also on Giannis too. Giannis needs a jump shot.
Yeah.
Giannis has everything. But we've seen in the playoffs, just stop him from driving, and he's useless. He doesn't have the ball in the fourth quarter, and he doesn't close games. Jimmy Butler in Miami,
Same
closing
reasons
time.
that's the same reason I say Philly needs to trade Ben
Yeah.
Simmons, because there is just no matter
Yeah, he
like
can't
you're looking
close.
at it to Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons had his own team, it's basically the Bucks. Basically the Bucks.
Yeah.
No,
It's
there's
basically
no
Milwaukee.
excuse. There's no excuse. They have shooters all around. Brooke Lopez can shoot, proven it this series. He's making good threes.
Kyle
Wesley
Korver.
Matthews, shoot. Kyle Korver can shoot. Chris Middleton can shoot and get his own shot. George Hill,
Yeah.
good on defense. Like, they have a team. Like
They just can't get it done. And it's also on the coach too.
They
You
need
know,
a
it's
guard,
also
like a Chris Paul type of guard.
yeah. They should have went and got Chris Paul at the trade deadline. They did not, and you know they're paying the consequences because of it. And you know I've stated before, and I'll state it again. Milwaukee Bucks are the most disappointing team in the playoffs, and I feel like after this series, Giannis's legacy is going to take a hit. Because a lot of people love Giannis. A lot of people are like, ooh, you know, Giannis, you know, he could be the next LeBron James. After this
Yeah, he
series,
can.
nah. You trash that down the drain. That's Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic, in my opinion, I mean, I know it's early, but I think Luka's better than Giannis already. Even though Giannis has about to have two MVPs and a defensive player of the year, you look at what Luka Doncic is doing. If Luka Doncic is on the Milwaukee Bucks right now, they are not down 3-0 in this series. And that's a fact. If Luka
That's
Doncic
a
is on
fact.
Milwaukee instead of Giannis, they are not down 3-0 in the series. Now, do I think they'll be down the series? Maybe. But Luka would have them be more competitive. Like they would maybe be
Every
down
time.
2-1, or maybe they'd be up 2-1. But if Luka is on Milwaukee instead of Giannis, they're not down 3-0. And I hate to say that because, you know, Giannis, he's a great player. But until he gets a jump shot, he'll never be the best player in the league. He'll never be that because he can't shoot a jump shot. And especially after
You're
this series, if he gets swept, this is just a humiliating defeat, and it's pathetic.
Hey. You're only keeping it real, my friend. That's all
Yeah.
I can
Hey.
say. You're only keeping it real. That's it.
Hey,
You're
that's
just
what,
keeping it real.
yeah. Hey, that's what this podcast is all about. MCS Real Sports Podcast. Yeah, keep it real. And
Underlined.
let's move on. Let's move on to the next series. We were kind of talking about it a little bit. Raptors and Celtics. And what a series this has turned into. I mean, we look at the Boston Celtics, they take game one in the series. A very competitive game two, but Boston took advantage of that. 2-0. Kemba Walker makes a great pass to Daniel Tice, who makes a dunk with half a second left. And it looks like Boston's about to go up 3-0 in this series. They look like they're going to have a stranglehold. And I saw them bring in Taco Fall to try and block the pass for Kyle Lowry. And I thought that Boston's about to go up 3-0 in this series. It's about to be a Miami versus Boston Eastern Conference Finals, no matter if it's when. But OG Anunoby, my opinion, hit
Man,
the greatest shot of his career.
the greatest shot of his career.
What a shot by OG Anunoby. And now it's only 2-1. And I kind of want to talk to you about the shot, Caleb. If the Toronto Raptors take advantage of this shot and come back in this series, how much do you believe OG Anunoby will be given credit for making that game-winning shot? And you know what? Instead of scratch that,
Okay.
do you believe the shot that OG Anunoby made for the Toronto Raptors changes the series?
Ultimately, no, I don't. I don't. I think it'll be the reason that they lasted longer, but no. I mean, it does. It does. It does. It puts them at a totally different position mentally, actually. It does. It actually does change the series. Mentally, they do have to go in and have that same ground. Like, we have to get this. We have to get this win right here. We have to get this game. Like, they have to have that same you know, go. They have to have that same go at it and even at the series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it definitely does play a big part, you know. They have a championship pedigree. They're a championship team. They won last year, and that shows. They played until literally the last second, and that's what a championship team does. That's how you win championships. So it just shows and proves, like, hey, they learned, they got better, but they're still in a position where they got to prove themselves. Because right now, you know, Boston, it just looks like they're the team that's going to get it. And I don't mind seeing Boston, you know? I really don't. They look like a really good team, and they look like they're ready to win, you know? And they came out striking, but, you know, if Toronto decides to change that narrative, they definitely can. They definitely can.
Mm, yeah, I 100% agree with you as well. I believe it changes the series slightly. I feel like Toronto has some momentum now.
Why so?
I feel like Toronto has some momentum in this series. Now, I do believe Boston's going to win the series. I made a little playoff bracket. I have Boston winning against the Raptors in 7 games. I feel like Boston's a better team. But after OG Anunoby hit that shot in game 3, I feel like it might give them a slight momentum in the series, thinking, like, you know what? Maybe we can come back in this series. Because if OG Anunoby misses that shot, they're down 3-0, and it's kind of like, damn, that's a heartbreaker. Like, off the rim.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely
tough. If he misses that shot, you could pretty much gift wrap this series closed. That's a wrap. But now that OG Anunoby made the shot, and they're only down 2-1, it's a ball game. Because if Toronto wins game 4, it's a 2-2 series, and it's right in the ball game. So the only reason I see it being – now, I'd say it's a slight momentum shift because, you know, instead of being down 3-0, you're now down 2-1. But if Toronto can turn that momentum and win game 4, then I'd say watch out Toronto because, you know, if it's a 2-2 series – Toronto has a good chance, but I still believe Boston wins the series. But Toronto, like you said, Caleb, they just go on. They live another day. They got
that championship pedigree.
They do have that championship pedigree. It's going to be an exciting series. You know, it's definitely going to be more of an intriguing series now. You know, if they were down 3-0, I'd say it's a different ball game. But now it's 2-1. It could be anybody's game. It could be anybody's series. Exactly. Going to this point.
Exactly. And I honestly feel like, you know, Toronto, just seeing their body language, they're a team that just looks like the Heat. Like, I would love to see Toronto and the Heat in a series just because there are two teams that are just hungry and they display that every time they step out on the court. But no, I can't knock Boston. We're Lakers fans, so, you know, we're Boston biased, but we can't never knock Boston, you know. Yeah. They definitely do their thing when they have to. And seeing Jason Tatum develop to the guy he is right now, it just shows, like, you know, Boston definitely made the right decision by going with Kemba instead of Kyrie. It's just seeing how good they do with Kemba, it's like, damn, I wish I would have been able to see, like, Kyrie in the playoffs with the Celtics, with that same team, with Jason Tatum. They just never had that chance, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely would have loved to see that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely would have seen that as well. And let's close out today's episode by discussing the final second-round series. And this series just started, the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets, game 1. Obviously, it was a Clippers blowout. Blew out the Denver Nuggets. Obviously, we know the Nuggets story. Came back down 3-1 against Utah. They won that series. Caleb, do you give the Denver Nuggets a chance at all in this series after their game 1 humiliating defeat?
Yeah. I'm not too sold on them, to be honest. I'm really not too sold on them. But I do give them a chance. I hope that they go out this game, prove something, and try to win. Home court advantage is definitely not anything that we're speaking about in the playoffs right now, as we would if if everything was in real world, we'd be talking about it's harder to win in LA. They might not win it just because of the home court advantage, but that is no longer an excuse. They have to go out and simply show that they want it more. So if they, I'm definitely convinced, but right now it's just a little they look a little but they do have a chance tonight to bounce back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe Denver's going to bounce back. This may be a little crazy, but I made it a playoff bracket. I have the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. You know, just because of the sole fact, I mean, I believe in Jamal Murray. I believe they'll bounce back. And, you know, I think the Clippers are a cursed franchise. You know, I mean, not a lot of good things happen with the Clippers. You know, they haven't made it past the second round ever in their franchise.
Mm.
I think it'll happen. One thing I change, if I'm Denver – if I'm the Denver Nuggets, I double Kawhi. I double Kawhi at all costs because Paul George, he's a hit or miss. He's either going to be really good or really bad. There really isn't in the middle. But Kawhi Leonard, he's a guaranteed walking bucket. If I'm the Denver Nuggets, and if I'm Denver, it's a must win. You have to win game two. If you don't win game two and go down 0-2, this series, you say it's over. It'll be over for Denver if they don't win game two. And I truly hope they do win because I'm really pulling for Denver. I mean, I got Denver in the Western Conference Finals because I really believe in Denver.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, they learned from their Portland Trailblazers series loss last year and took it with them. And, you know, the way how they played against Utah, they had a lot of heart. Jamal Murray put the team on his back. And, you know, I expect Jamal Murray to do the same thing tonight. And hopefully Denver could carry that on for the rest of the series.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think that this series should at least go to Denver to distance. I think Denver should try to prove that if they're going to, you know, lose game two, they should try to make this, you know, a 7-game series or a 6-game series to prove that to themselves that they can compete with these type of teams. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they just have something to prove. And I honestly think Denver could win. I hope they do.
Mm.
But, you know, the Clippers are the Clippers.
Yeah, Clippers are the Clippers. Their team's fully healthy. They're going to be a scary team.
They look nice.
They do look nice.
They look nice, man. They look nice.
Yeah, they do.
You can't underestimate them. You can't underestimate them. They definitely do look nice out there. Clippers do look like they can, you know, come back and get it. So, you know, it all depends.
It definitely all depends. Obviously, we hope the second round turns out as good as the first round. Definitely some exciting series to watch out for. And yeah, that's all, Kevin, I have to say. That, my friends, concludes episode 18 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. That's the episode.